You guys have your Bibles this morning. Turn to Matthew 9, 6 through 38. We're finishing up our series on generous. In this Thanksgiving season, as we go from Thanksgiving into Christmas, I can't help but pray that the concept of generosity continues to build as we've looked at over these last few weeks. And, you know, we've looked at all kinds of ways of being generous. But then I believe there's a way that God calls us to in our daily living that Christ modeled for us, that out of his compassion for others, where are we generous with our compassion to the world around us? Where are we generous to the world with our compassion? And so when I look at the season of Thanksgiving, I'm reminded to be grateful because of God's compassion to me, and I'm reminded to extend that compassion to other people. And I find that compassion, to be very honest, I think if we're all very honest, compassion doesn't always come easy. You know, and it's not that we're not willing to help people, but we have our limits on it. You know, there's a situation where we're trying to help somebody, and it just seems like anytime we try to help, something comes up, and part of me just wants to go, forget it, you know, we've tried. But then the Holy Spirit just kind of prompts me and goes, you know, there are people that have been tremendously patient with you in life, and so why do you not want to extend that, you know, compassion to them? Now, obviously, circumstances, real-life situations, they're at times can be practical limits to things for whatever reason. But my hope and my prayer is that everything we do extends out of first that desire for compassion, first that desire to extend grace. And out of that, you know, maybe we then create some parameters. But I believe that the heart of God is one of great compassion for us, and therefore we extend that to other people. And so we want to look at Matthew 9, 36 through 38. And it says this. It says that when he saw the crowds, he being Jesus, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And the Lord of the harvest, therefore, asked the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Father, I pray that you'll speak to us this morning. Lord, this verse reminds us again that there is a harvest that you desire to reap of people who would come to know you. And you also remind us that, Father, the workers are few. And so you call to your church to extend the compassion that demonstrates and speaks to the goodness of God and the reality of Jesus in our lives. And that, God, you call us to fill the need of the worker in the harvest, Father. And I pray that also, God, that it's done out of this compassion that Jesus had for others. And so this morning, I pray, God, that compassion will be tremendously generous in our lives. In Jesus' name. You know, the word compassion, as it's used in the Bible, means to move, be moved inwardly, to yearn with tender mercy, affection, pity, and empathy. It refers to the deepest possible feelings of feelings. The phrase moved with compassion means to be moved in the inner, literally in the innermost organs. You know, a lot of times in Scripture, you know, we put a lot like, you know, my heart was into it. And a lot of times in Bible times, they would say more like my gut was into it. And so, you know, like, you know, we still kind of use that idea of a gut feeling. But like literally, they would say from their inmost parts, they would literally be talking about like the way we look at the heart, like our feelings come from our heart. They would say literally it comes from my gut. And so from the deepest parts of me, where does compassion extend to people? So we see that compassion is the sharing of feelings of others and possessing a desire to help them in their trouble. And so it says that Jesus looked up among the people and he had great compassion for them, for he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And so he looks out among the crowd and he sees that these are lost people, broken people, hurting people. And his first response to shepherdless people was compassion. And I think it reminds me sometimes that when I look upon people that don't know Jesus, is my first response a heart of compassion towards them? And so we see somebody, maybe they live a way we don't agree with, or they make decisions we don't agree with, and our first response is to, you know, maybe put judgment upon them, have an opinion, or, you know, if only they would do this. But yet, Jesus, when he looked upon shepherdless sheep, he had great compassion. So who are the shepherdless sheep in our world, in our communities? And what kind of response do we have towards them? And how are we making sure that our response is that that models how Jesus responded to lost people? And you got to keep in mind, here's an interesting thing. Jesus came into Israel, who is a nation that God had chosen through which he would redeem the whole world. And so in a sense, these weren't people who didn't know about God or maybe even knew God. They had the temple. They worshiped him. They had all of these elements. They were surely, they weren't people who didn't know God, but yet he came to his own and he called them shepherdless. For they had in many ways kind of lost their way. And so sometimes maybe the people we look upon as even those that once knew God and have kind of moved away from that. And again, maybe our first response is to, they're just, God's going to get them. But yet, reality is, Jesus looked upon them with great compassion. And he was speaking of his own people, of the people that he had come to bring salvation to. And I would think oftentimes, there's a thought I have pretty regularly is like, God's greatest desire is to bring grace in the lives of people, compassion and salvation. And the moment we begin to wish for God's judgment on somebody or something or a situation, I would argue that maybe you've missed actually what God's heart is for people, and that is compassion, grace, salvation. And, we're so quick to wonder, why does God withhold? And I think he desperately withholds for as long as he can because his great desire is not judgment, but grace and salvation and compassion for people. And so we see that. And he calls us to that. And so when you read the Gospels, they tell of Jesus and his great compassion. It's demonstrated in the woman at the well. It's demonstrated in the adulterous woman. It's demonstrated in the crippled man lowered from the room. And the many other stories we read. And so we begin to wonder, where do the origins of his compassion come from? It originated in who he was. The Bible says that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. That he came incarnate in human flesh. And he is the one who became God in the flesh. And so we understand that Jesus is that very thing, God in the flesh. And so it originated first with what? He is God. It is his compassion began with who he was from the very beginning. It begins in his divinity. It begins in the very nature of who he is. And so out of that, part of the origins of his compassion is found in his divinity. Jesus revealed his nature of God. When we read John 1:18 or John 14:9, it says that he is holy. It is also a God of love and of grace and of mercy and of compassion. There was an interesting illustration I read that said, a man fell into a pit and he couldn't get himself out. One person came along and says, you only think you're in a pit. And they go, no. Another one came along and he said, only bad people fall into a pit. Another one said, you deserve the pit. And somebody else came along and said, just confess that you're not in a pit. Yet another one came by and said, we brought you some food and clothing while you're in the pit, which isn't a bad thing necessarily. Another one reminded him, this is no accident, Still another said, things could be worse. And the opposite said, things will get worse. But the one of true compassion, seeing the man, took him out by the hand and lifted him up out of the pit. And so you think about life, and I'll be honest, I've had all these thoughts about other people. They probably deserve that, let's be honest. You keep doing that, it's going to get worse. And sometimes that's true, that you make decisions, it goes. But yet God isn't really calling us to stand over the pit and tell people what they already know. He's calling us to be the hand of compassion. Now, if you offer it and they don't accept it, then you've done your part. But maybe you continually, regularly walk by, because pretty soon, maybe the first time you offer to help them, they're like, nah, I'm good. I'll find my way out. Then you come back by and you're like, hey, you need help? And then that moment where you're like, man, I've offered him a lot, kind of reminds me of when Jesus was talking to Peter, and Peter said, how many times do I forgive somebody? He goes, 7 times? And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. And obviously he was talking about forgiveness, but maybe we apply that same idea into so many other things, is the minute we feel like, man, God, I look at me, I offered to get him out of the pit 7 times. And he's like, so surely I've done what you wanted. And he's like, well, Maybe multiply that by 70 times. And so really he's saying there is no limit to the compassion that God calls us to extend to his people and to those who are lost and those who are in need. And so we offer that. It originated in his experiences. You know, realize that Jesus, God in the flesh, allowed his humanity to develop him and his deep compassion for us. We knew he dealt with loneliness. We see here that he had this emotion of compassion, which would extend from his humanity. We see that he wept over his people. It says that when he went to the tomb of his friend Lazarus, who I would assume Jesus knew what was about to happen, but yet he was still moved by his friends who were weeping over his friend Lazarus. It says that at times he was despised, he was hated, he was rejected, he endured temptation. And so he went through a range of human emotions. And so I would think just as maybe the experiences that we have dealt with formed some of how we look at the world, we know that his compassion might have been formed also by the fact that not only was there his divinity, but there was his humanity. And his experience in his humanity also compelled him to have compassion. And so this generosity of compassion that God called him to, or that he had for people that God calls us to, is powerfully compelling in us seeing people come to Jesus, in us seeing people come out of their difficult situations. Whenever I talk to, or I should say, whenever I hear the story, there's a man named Bill Wilson. Bill Wilson, I don't know if he still does, but at one point he had the largest Sunday school in America, in New York City. And it was huge. If you ever hear the story of Bill Wilson was left on a bench in a park, and for 3 days he waited for his mother to return, who never would. And I think before that time there had been great, great tragedy that had happened in his life. And after that, he's been shot, he's been beaten, his life has been threatened and all that. And yet, his heart was moved to compassion to help these kids. And now for 30, 40 years, Bill Wilson has helped bring children to Jesus and meet the needs of children. And he has given everything above everything. And when everybody else would quit, I'm sure, to be very honest, if somebody shot me and I suddenly was left with nothing, I don't know if I would go back to that thing. But yet he goes back and he continues to minister to people, goes in the toughest areas of New York City. And now, the guy's, I think, in his 60s, maybe older. But yet he is compelled by the compassion, the generous compassion of Jesus, to do what it is that God calls him to do. If you ever hear Bill Wilson, he talks like this. Like his voice has just gone, it's like there's a fire that keeps burning in his heart and his mind towards what it is that God has called him to do. You know, but I would think that for a guy like Bill Wilson, it was out of his experiences of being left on a bench at 7 years old that might have also helped him to want to minister to children and help them to know Jesus. What was the focus of his compassion? It says that he saw sheep without a shepherd. And so his heart is for Jesus' heart. His compassion is for those who are scattered. His heart is for sinners. And the Bible says that he's a friend of sinners. You think about this even, that when Jesus rose from the dead, he went back to those who had denied him. And it says that he went back to Peter. Peter did not come looking for Jesus. Keep in mind that the very ones who denied him, he went back and looked for and forgave them. And what does that come out of? It comes out of this heart of compassion. And so we see his heart for even those who have rejected him, those who have pushed him away. It's as if Jesus is saying, I continue to pursue out of my compassion for them. So he has compassion for those who are scattered, who are lost, for those who are sinners. He has compassion for those who are sick, and he brings healing. And we believe and know that God can heal. And so our compassion is for the sick, and our desire is to pray with them. And if ever you're in a situation where you need prayer for sickness, we want to pray with you, whether it's Pastor Heather or myself or one of our leaders or just anybody in our church. Man, where are we in a place where we pray for one another out of compassion for healing? Because God's heart is for sick people, and therefore our heart can be too. And when we pray for one another and we believe that God can heal, man, what a powerful testimony of God's goodness and his ability to use the church to change the world. Jesus' compassion was for those who were suffering. He had a heart for those who were suffering. And honestly, there are a lot of people going through many things in our culture. Our culture just seems confused. And what I see is a world suffering. And so where does my heart extend to them as Christ's heart would to those who are suffering? It says that also it was for those who were seeking. It says that Jesus went to, you know, seek and save the lost, but he also knew that there were people, his heart was for those who were looking for him. There are some that are desperately seeking for something. And in this next season of Christmas, we're going to be looking at, our series is going to be Rediscover Jesus. Now, some of you know him. Some of you know about him. But there are many that need to, in some ways, they once knew him and they need to rediscover the peace, the joy, the hope, and the salvation that is found in him. And so our Christmas series, as we go into, is going to be looking at those things. And my hope is that people that are looking for him will remember where they can find him. They can remember that where they can find him, whether it's coming back into a church service or coming and talking with one of you, or simply the easiest thing, getting on their knees before God and saying, God, I need you. And so my prayer this season, and I hope you pray with me, is that people rediscover Jesus this Christmas. You know, amidst all the Santa Clauses and all the toys and all the Christmas trees and all that stuff, in the center of it all, my prayer is that people rediscover who Jesus is. So I pray, just kind of as a side note, will you join me in prayer for that? This month, will you join me in praying that people will again come to rediscover the goodness of God in their life and the power of the salvation that comes through him? You know, so to ask the question, how do we see people? We often base our evaluation of a person on what we see with our eyes or what we hear with our ears. You know, what we need to learn is to look past the person's exteriors to see the reality of as to where they really are. And through the eyes of Jesus, so that we can express compassion to them and maybe really learn to see them as Jesus does. My heart is compelled this morning to really challenge you to say, God, am I looking at the world around me through the eyes of Jesus, truly through the heart of compassion that he demonstrates to us and through us? You know, we're reminded lastly of the purpose of his compassion. A brief look at the Gospels reveals that the disciples needed to learn compassion. James and John wanted to call down fire from heaven to punish the Samaritan village for when they refused to receive Jesus. Another time, the disciples wanted to send a huge crowd away hungry with nothing. And in some ways, you're like, you know, Jesus had to demonstrate compassion to his own people. And at times where maybe we want to send the people away hungry, not because we're terrible people, but just because, you know, like them, we, one situation, they're like, I don't know if we don't have the ability to do this. Jesus, we don't have enough food. We need to send them away. Actually, they probably felt like we need to send them away so that they can find what they're looking for. But I think the analogy is Jesus saying, we're able to provide everything that they're looking for. Don't send them away. Be a part of what I can do to show compassion to them. And so we realize that he calls us to do these things. Christ in us should develop compassion. In truth, we love others as we should. We will not wait to be asked. We will be moved with compassion for them, and we will get busy being about what it is that Jesus has called us to do. And so the purpose of involvement, not only did Jesus want to teach his men, the disciples, about compassion, he wanted them to become involved in the ministry of showing compassion to others, and he wanted them to start seeing people as he saw them. He wanted them to be moved by the needs of others, so that moved, they would also be compelled to do something with those needs. He wanted them to become involved. So God's compelling nature of generous compassion calls you to be involved in the work that he is doing. So in some ways, the serving that you do in the church is compelled out of a compassion that God has birthed in your heart. And sometimes I believe we need to rediscover that compassion. Because notice the word passion is kind of found in that word. I find sometimes I need to rediscover my compassion for people. Because man, it gets tiring. Maybe you've been in a situation where you have tried to help somebody, it just seems like it gets rebuffed, or you help them and then it seems like they just kind of go the other way, and you're like, man, you feel like maybe it's hard to want to help them again, but yet God calls us back to a place of compassion. It might be the original reason you got in your line of work was because you wanted to help people. Let's be honest, there's times where you're like, I'm kind of tired of helping them, right? You might be thinking that. But where do we allow the Holy Spirit to bring us back to a place of compassion so that we can generate this, or we can demonstrate this generous compassion that God calls us to? And so we see that he calls us to this idea. How is my compassion being demonstrated in my life? How is compassion a demonstration of how God is working things out in me and through me? We see that even Jesus in his greatest moment, in his most broken moment, his most desperate moment on the cross, he cried out, Father, forgive them. And so in an ultimate act of compassion, he even asked for forgiveness for those who were doing these things to him. And so God points this out to us. You know, his greatest act of compassion was bringing salvation to the world. That we have the opportunity to not only receive this gift of salvation, which I hope and pray all of you have, and if you have not, we want to provide an opportunity for you to know him and have a relationship with him. Where do you come into a relationship with Jesus? But then for us as well, where do we desire to see others come into a relationship with him? Because is that not his ultimate act of compassion to us and to the world? There's an illustration as we close up our time and as Eva comes up. While walking home from school, a boy named Mark, we have a Mark here, noticed a boy ahead of him had stumbled to the ground and dropped everything he was carrying. Mark hurried to the boy's side and he helped him collect up his belongings. Surprisingly, the boy was carrying an especially hefty load. And there was a baseball glove and a bat, a couple of sweaters, a small tape recorder, an arm full of books. Mark helped him carry the things home, and his new friend Bill was most appreciative of his compassion. During the walk home, Mark discovered Bill was struggling at school and had just broken up with his girlfriend. And when they arrived at Bill's house, he invited Mark in for a Pepsi. It says Coke here, but I'm going to use Pepsi because... And then they spent the rest of the afternoon talking and laughing and watching TV. Although the two boys never became really close friends, they kept up with each other throughout the rest of junior high and into high school. Several weeks before the graduation, Bill approached Mark and asked him if he remembered that day that he met when Mark helped him out and with all of his stuff. Mark nodded, and as he remembered, then Bill said to him, "Do you ever wonder why I was carrying so many things that day?" Without pausing for an answer, Bill explained that he had just cleaned out his locker and was going home to take his life. He had been storing away sleeping pills and was heading home to end it all when Mark happened to come alongside and help him out. Bill told Mark how this simple act of compassion had inspired him to go on living. And he said, "Mark, when you picked up the books that day, you saved my life." Imagine how many times our small, seemingly insignificant gestures of concern and compassion may reignite the flame of life and inspire somebody to continue on. Thankfully, compassion has a way of doing that. Thankfully, compassion has a way of helping us inspire life back into somebody else. You ever thought about that? Your act of compassion may literally reignite life back into somebody. And think about it. It might ignite the ultimate life of in Christ that people need. So this morning, man, we're about to head into a pretty busy season. Christmas, you know, is coming. I mean, if you haven't finished all your shopping yet, then you're already behind. Man, Thanksgiving literally is just like the gateway into the crazy seasons that we get into every year. But in that, man, where can compassion be the greatest gift I extend regularly to people? We want to invite you to that. So as your eyes are closed and your head is bowed and we take some time, we're going to take a few minutes to worship a little longer before we go this morning. I want to invite you to two things. First off, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you into that. And I want to ask this question. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you want to make that decision to follow him, can you raise your hand? Is there anybody here this morning who would want to raise their hand and make that decision to follow him? The second thing I want to invite you to, I'll go back really quick. If you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, please talk with me or talk with somebody here within our church family. We'd love to talk to you more about what it means to follow him. Your best decision begins with that decision to follow Jesus. Secondly, you may be at a place in life where you're like, man, Pastor Scott, I used to want to show compassion. Or man, I really feel like that's an area that God is challenging me on. Or there might be something in this message that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about that you know you just need to put before the Lord. And so I invite you, there's the response cards that we put. Write it down what it is that God is saying to you this morning and pray about it this week. And maybe as we're worshiping, we're going to have our prayer team available for prayer. You might come up and pray with somebody on our prayer team. But let's put this before the Lord this week. What is it that God is saying to you this week? What is it that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you? You know, we did this whole series on generosity. We have been challenging throughout the last 3 months to pray prayers of faith. And we're going to have an email going out in a couple of days that's going to ask you, what is it that God has been saying to you? And how has he been answering your prayers of faith? And I believe that some of the act of faith begins by us taking steps of compassion towards other people. So you might, as we finish this series of generosity, as we finish this season of believing God for great things, what is it that God is saying to you this morning? Let's stand. We're going to worship. Our prayer team is going to be available for prayer. Well, let's just take a few minutes to worship together this morning.